Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of Roman innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Republican Chris Roebling, Democrat Michael Golden, and political analyst Paul Lisnick. Our program tonight coming to you from our home base on State Street, that great street in Chicago, where our phone lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, our email address is btbtalk@aol.com. And if you'd like to join us on the World Wide Web, it's www.beyondthebeltway.com. And we begin tonight's broadcast with news that the Obama bandwagon keeps rolling. Obama wins Maine. The Maine caucuses took place today, and with 70% of the precincts reporting, Obama coming up with 58% to Hillary Clinton's 41%. This on the heels of a very good Saturday for Barack Obama. And if you did not hear the results, here they are from yesterday, February 9th. In Louisiana, it was Obama with 57%, Clinton 36%. In conservative Nebraska, 68% for Obama, 32% for Clinton. In Washington, 68% for Obama, 31% for Clinton. In the Virgin Islands, 90% for Obama and 8% for Clinton. And on the Republican side, the results yesterday, a big day for Mike Huckabee in Kansas. McCain only was able to manage 24% of that in that caucus. Huckabee, 60%, despite the endorsement of Sam Brownback and the leadership of the state. In Louisiana, it was Huckabee edging John McCain, 43-42. And in Washington, McCain came back 26-24. Huckabee is challenging that because the leader of the Washington party, that was also a caucus, he stopped the voting when McCain went ahead. So there'll be a little more discussion about that. We should also mention that because in the state of Louisiana, because no one got 50% of the vote, it really doesn't mean too much. It's going to go to a convention. They have a very convoluted way of figuring out their delegates in the Bayou State, and it's sort of par for the course for politics down there. It's a little confusing, as it is in a lot of other states. But a lot of action, both on the Republican and obviously the Democratic side. The momentum, as I said at the beginning, really starting to roll for Barack Obama. But I do want to talk with our Republican Chris Roebling tonight. Chris, it must be significantly embarrassing in the first opportunity when people can go to vote, when it appears that John McCain has this nomination locked up, for him to be stunned, as I'm sure he was, in Louisiana and certainly in Kansas yesterday.
You know, John McCain would rather have had the alternative outcome. There's no question about that. But John McCain, according to the Real Clear Politics surveys down through the last 7-8 weeks, has shown a tighter grip on Republican support in the national polls, okay, than either Hillary or Barack have had on Democratic support. So McCain is doing very well with the party. I think what you see in, especially Kansas, I agree with you, Louisiana is convoluted. I think what you see in Kansas is there's always been a very strong Christian conservative movement out there. It is a state that neighbors Arkansas. And so Mike Huckabee has got a lot of friends, neighbors, relations, et cetera. And I think that that goes a long way to explaining what happened.
Michael Golden is our Democrat tonight. I'm sure you're looking with glee right now with some of the consternation between varying degrees of conservatism in the Republican Party. But will you be as smug come August if this Democratic primary continues to go down the very tight path that it's going down?
I haven't said a word yet, and I'm already smug.
You're smug.
I'm surprised, actually. I'm surprised in a way that some of these big shots in the Republican Party are giving McCain such a hard time, because he does appeal to independents. He appeals beyond that base, which is what you need to do in a general election to win the presidency. And that's what, you know, Reagan Democrats were. That's
you do know, you think he would appeal? Do you think he would appeal to independents if Barack Obama ends up being the nominee, or do all those independents automatically stick with Barack Obama?
Well, they certainly all don't, right? It's a matter of, you know, what's the balancing act? I think they'll both appeal to independent voters and ticket splitters, absolutely. But I think that John McCain is going to have a problem if over the next couple of months he has to keep defending and keep tacking to the right just to get some of those kingmakers in the party, because he loses that independent appeal that has made him popular with people who aren't to the far right wing of the Republican Party and make up their own minds when they go into a voting.
Paul Lisnick also joins us. He is a lawyer. He's a lecturer. He also is a host of a Political Update on Comcast, also commentator on WGN television, a man of many facets.
Sure.
Paul, as you look at this particular, you know, battle that's going on in both parties, does one party have an edge over being able to sort of bring it together once a nominee has been determined?
Well, a couple things, Bruce. First of all, I think this is good. This is good for our democratic values and our democracy.
And it's great for talk show hosts.
This is keeping us all busy, and people are tuning in because you can't get enough. I can't get enough of this stuff. The reality of it is, look, in a couple of months, we'll know who these nominees are, and we'll be sick of them because they'll be on every day and every night. So let's enjoy the process while we can. To answer your question, whose side does this help a little bit more? I think the answer is this. We're going to see it move a little quicker on the Republican side. Again, you do have these winner-take-all contests. In various places on the Republican side. Mathematically, by the way, Huckabee can't win this thing.
Yeah.
So mathematically, John McCain is the nominee, barring something mm-hmm. happening. Mm-hmm. So the answer is you already have the answer on the Republican side. We're just having a little fun until we get there.
Where do Romney supporters go at this particular moment? And take us through, as you would advise Senator McCain, take us through the process that you think he has to go through to really shore up his far right base.
Romney supporters,
right base,
his the right side of the party. Romney, I think, and his supporters are going to gravitate in large measure towards McCain. I think there are some sort of religious-based conservative voters who had found their way to Romney, found their way, for instance, over the Mormon issue, which should never have been an issue, but for some it was. And I think they might be dallying. I think there is some dallying going on. I think that the Christian conservatives, without having played a decisive role in the selection of the nominee, who will be McCain, are now holding out to maintain their place at the table. And that's what Huckabee is doing, and that's what these votes are like in Kansas. As for the advice, I think that McCain is playing it exactly right. I think Mike makes a very good point. I don't think he wants to be seen as making some sort of pirouette. Any kind of pirouette is bad for a Republican, but he doesn't want to make a revolution over to the right-hand side and say, I am now going to make obeisance towards you, and I'm going to do whatever you want. I think the fact that there are right-wing Republicans like Brent Bazell, for instance, who are attacking McCain is just where he wants to be. He has the vast majority of that vote. By November, he's going to have the vast majority of the vote. If a few of the prominent people, Laura Ingraham, Rush Limbaugh, Brent Bozell, if they're angry at McCain, that's okay.
I want to give you a chance to follow up on that. 1-800-723-8029. We've already got callers on the line. We will bring them into the conversation when we continue from Chicago.
You've heard the horror stories about meth. It's a powerful, dangerous, and highly addictive drug that's having a serious impact on our communities and horrible effects on families across the country. But there is reason for hope. Treatment for meth addiction is available, and it works. All it takes is someone to care. If you know someone using meth, get involved and help them get on the path to recovery. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To Go Red for Women and give your heart the love it deserves.
From Bakersfield, California to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. Paul Lisnick, political commentator, is with us. Paul, you wanted to make a point about McCain and Romney and their authenticity.
Yeah, just before the break, Chris had talked about the role that McCain needs to play and should play. And what struck me when he said that was, you know, Mitt Romney's downfall, among other things, was not only the flip-flopping, but was the fact that, and as a result of that, there was an authenticity issue with him. A lot of people never really knew whether he ever meant what he said or whether he was saying what an audience needed to hear. Well, McCain has that issue because even though he needs to play to the right now to bring them with him, the truth is he's far more authentic in personality. That is a very difficult thing for him to play something he is not, and he won't do it.
And I think I actually think that translates onto the Democratic side of the aisle too, Paul, because, you know, some people you hear saying, well, this Barack Obama, the senator, he's been in the Senate for 2 years. Before that, he was in the state senate, but he has an authenticity that connects with people. And it's about more than just giving a good speech and inspiring people with your rhetoric. He seems to be very real and genuine. And that is something, as you said, that Romney could never connect with voters from the get-go, no matter how good he looked.
But Romney, the one thing I would say, and again, we're going to talk more about it in the second hour, because we want to talk about some of the futures. We also want to talk about possible running mates, and we will talk about it in hour number two, is the likelihood of whether or not McCain would pick Romney as a running mate, because Romney, I agree with all of the things that you said about Romney early on, but Romney, I believe, was beginning to grow as a candidate, and there's a lot of people in the party who like Romney, and they would look at John McCain as the commander-in-chief, a role that he fills well, and the expertise in the economy that someone with the credentials that Romney has, that's a strong 1-2 ticket, if indeed the campaign is going to be about change versus experience. I think he brings more to the ticket than a Mike Huckabee would. But again,
if the two of them could get along.
Romney's greatest moment was in front of that CPAC on his departure speech, was probably his greatest speech-making moment.
He was very good there. He was very good in the debate in Florida.
Yes.
And I think he planted probably the seed that is most memorable when he talked about, can you imagine what it would be like if Bill Clinton were in the White House wandering around with nothing to do? Mm-hmm. I think he touched on a fear that a lot of people have, including a lot of Democrats. Mm-hmm. Let's go to some calls. Let's go to Catherine, listening to on our flagship station on WLS in Chicago. Go ahead. Are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
This is just my opinion, but I believe that the Republicans are voting in the Democratic primary to stop Hillary.
Is there any evidence, Michael? Do you buy any of that?
You hear those theories going back and forth, but I don't really
think... Too many of them. There's not that many Republicans.
Exactly. It would take an awful lot of votes to swing an election that way.
And I think the other telling point there is when you look at, and you're saying it, Bruce, when you look at the total number of Democrats versus Republicans going to the polls, it's not quite 2-1, but the Democrats far outnumber the Republicans, so I don't think there's enough playing that game.
And if I may, the Republicans at this moment would rather run against Hillary. We're not anti-Hillary. We're a little more sure that McCain beats Hillary. Right now, McCain is beating Hillary in the polls, whereas right now, he's not beating Obama. We would rather run against Hillary right now.
The Republican Party almost seems to need someone like Hillary to unite all of its factions that have sort of been dispersed.
I'm not so sure of.
I want to go back to just a little bit about the role that Huckabee is playing now.
Yes.
By staying in the race, when it appears that mathematically there's no way that he can make the case,
right?
Is he, to some degree, helping McCain, or is he sapping all the energy, or is he keeping the Republican race and maybe taking some of this heat that conservatives have and basically giving them a place to go for now? I mean, it's obviously going to have to dissipate between now and the time they get together in Minneapolis, but it's a long time between now and Labor Day, which is when they open their conventions.
I think it's all of that, Bruce. I think that Mike Huckabee is looking to the future, and he's looking to the future for the country, for his constituency, and for Mike Huckabee. And the best role that he can play for John McCain and the Republicans right now is to stay in and take those steps that you are mentioning. Generally, I think, you know, Jerry Falwell has passed on. Pat Robertson is well into his dotage. And there is a constituency out there that is lacking for a national voice, a national leader. And I think Mike Huckabee has perhaps selected himself to be the next person of that stature.
And he's already been ratified by Dr. Dodson.
Right. Dobson. Dr. Dobson is on board with Huckabee, and I think that they might coalesce around Huckabee, and that's their right. And it's his right to stay in, and I think that he is absorbing some of the other issues that otherwise would come up, and he's giving McCain a little bit of breathing space so that he can figure out what he's going to do.
It's not breathing space. He's forcing the issue. Think about it. If Huckabee stepped out tomorrow, John McCain is coronated, and essentially we can simply stay in the middle and just sort of say, come on, come with me. With Huckabee on the stage, it forces McCain to keep his arguments sharp, to the right, ignore it.
And it also, it makes, frankly, it makes the Republican Party relevant. It gets them on the network news every single night.
That's right.
Because if there was no race, all of the network coverage would be about what's happening in the Democratic Party, which looks like it's going to go a long, long way before it's completed.
I'm not sure if the people in the McCain campaign agree with all of that.
I'm sure they don't.
Seen a couple of advisors who are, you know, they like Mike Huckabee for a while because they had a little team thing going, but now they're not. John McCain is. I think he's a little tired of this. He'd like to make direct comments about the Democrats and carve that piece out for himself instead of continue to compete in these races.
We'll have an extended conversation in hour number two, but again, a piece of advice, a little seed that I will drop now. It seems to me that one thing that McCain might do is decide real early to pick a running mate. End all this. Just the opposite of what I said. It isn't going to happen in the next couple of weeks, but you know, it could happen within a month, and that would keep them in the news as well. Let's go to Jim in South Elgin on WLS. Thanks for calling us at 1-800-723-8289.
Good evening. I had a chance to talk to a couple of Obama supporters, and we talked about issues about global warming, about economics, tort reform, and I hate to say it, these people are undereducated, because when I brought out different points, like one of the reasons why jobs go overseas is because of lawsuits and over governmental regulations, too many governmental regulations and, you know, things like this, a lot of these people didn't have a clue. And right now it's like 0 degrees outside in Chicago, and these guys are talking about carbon taxes and all this other stuff that's going to make the cost of fuel even higher, and these people didn't have a clue. And I said, you know, if we don't drill for oil and for like off our own shores, like Cuba does with China, et cetera, you know, we're always going to be behind the eight ball, and these people didn't have a clue. And
well, that is an issue that certainly separates the parties. Let's go to Dan in Naperville, Illinois, on WLS. You're on the air coast to coast.
Yeah, I'm a conservative by choice, and I'm a Republican by default, and the Republican Party is still living in denial from 2 years ago. They continue to think that people on the right are just want to take their ball and go home, and that they're pouting, and what they have failed to understand is the Republican Party has left this part of the coalition. We're not coming back. And I'll tell you what, people like myself will never vote for John McCain under any circumstances. He's lied. He's been terrible to the conservative cause. And I will either sit home or I'll pull the ticket for a Libertarian or some other party. And there's a lot of conservatives like myself who are not going to come back. We're not going to sell our soul like a politician would, or these people, these inside the Beltway politicians will.
And Dan, what is the issue within the long list of issues that may be important to you as a conservative? Is there an issue that you put number one?
Number one is immigration, but there is a bunch of equals. Number two would be what he did with the basically breaking the chance once and for all to stop filibusters against judicial nominees when he broke up Bill Frist's opportunity to put in what they were calling Armageddon or whatever they were calling it, the nuclear option, to stop filibusters of Senate judicial nominees for all time.
Dan, let's Michael Golden, the Democrat, has got a comment for you, and so does Chris Roebling, our Republican. Michael Golden.
Well, I think there's actually, I'd be interested to hear what you have to say, Chris, about this, because I think there's a lot of people in the Republican Party that feel the very same way. And those turnout numbers that we talked about earlier, where the Democrats are far exceeding the Republicans in terms of turnout, no matter how many independents McCain pulls, if he's the nominee, I think that would be a terrible problem for the Republican Party in the fall if people like this caller are staying home and sitting on their hands, especially since the turnout has already, if it's any indicator in the primaries, not been very strong.
Well, Dan, we don't know each other, and
no,
I take you at your word. I will say that the issue for Republicans and the issue for Democrats and the issue for Americans this year is how Western civilization is going to deal with the threat of Islamofascism. And that issue is going to be handled best, no question about it, by John McCain. There's things in John McCain's background, and I've written about this, that I'm not crazy about. I am looking over those issues, and I have found a way to do so. It sounds to me like you have not, and I respect you, and I hope you will keep an open mind through November, and we would love to have you back whenever we can get you.
Well, let me say, I won't vote for him. I mean, it's that serious, and it's just like the Republicans losing Congress a year and a half ago. It was for that very reason. The Republican coalition, which people forget, is not cohesive. You've got your conservative Christians, you've got just conservatives in general who believe in more of a traditionalist role of government. You've got big business, which unfortunately has taken over the party. Dan, let me just interject
for a moment, just to put a fine point on what Chris said. If you get to November and you know the polls are close,
yep,
are you absolutely going to sit on your hands?
Absolutely.
Let me tell you why.
This country is too big for even Hillary or Barack Obama to destroy. This country is too strong. I consider it kind of like an alcoholic who won't admit he has a problem. Part of the whole six-step program or whatever it's called, they have to go admit it. And they have to reach a real low point before they finally come around and do something. We're giving that to the Republican Party right now. And you know what? They're going to hit a real low point before they realize that conservatives like myself, we're fed up.
All right,
Dan,
we got to move on, and we'll take more calls at 1-800-723-8029 when we continue from Chicago. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415 for a one-time professional fee. American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415. From Boise, Idaho to Fayetteville, North Carolina, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Our Democrat is Michael Golden. Michael Golden is a political strategist. He was a campaign manager for Melissa Bean. She ran for Congress from the suburbs of Chicago. And also he was a member of the media staff for Kerry and Edwards 4 years ago. And he is now the co-founder and the chief operating. You're not the chief operating officer. You're the chief guy, right?
Co-founder's good enough.
You call the shots. With the Illinois chief. Education Foundation, and in 50 words or less, what do you do?
50 words. Give me the hook
words.
If I cross 50.
What do you do?
We empower students, high school students, to go to community college, average grade students to succeed with financial aid and also academic support services, help them to matriculate into BA programs or directly into the workforce, and we have a great team of public and private sector people.
Bipartisan?
Nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan.
The governor and members of Congress, and we've raised over $1.5 million in a year to fund 108 students.
Our Democrat is Chris Roebling. Chris Roebling is a Republican strategist, and he is with Jane M. Thompson and Associates.
Jane Thompson and Associates, yes.
Crisis management.
That's right.
What do you do?
Well, we work with people who...
You deal with the Republican Party
We don't do any politics. We don't do any lobbying. We work with companies typically that are in some kind of crisis situation.
Paul Lisnick also joins us. He is a lawyer. He's a PhD. He's a lecturer, an author. He's a commentator on WGN Radio. And you're also host of Political Update on Comcast. That's Channel 100 for the Comcast viewers in the Chicagoland area. And again, a guy who's a very busy guy, but we thank you very much for joining us tonight. We're talking about who wins what state. There's only one real issue that all parties are interested in, and that is delegates and delegate counts for the next several months. That's all you're going to be hearing about. The Democrat delegates needed. They need 2,025 delegates. As of the moment, Obama has 1,009. Actually, he may have picked up an additional 24 today in Maine. That is not reflected in the 1,009 that he has. And Hillary Clinton has 944. The Republican delegates needed is 1,191. McCain leading at 721. Huckabee at 231. We didn't have Romney in there because Romney has dropped out of the race. But again, Huckabee would have to get close to 85% of the vote in all the states that are left for him to even to have a chance. So it looks as though it's a matter of time when that race will soon be over. I do want to take a moment before we go back to calls to talk about the issue of the superdelegates. And in your view, by the way, can we go to the graphic that talks about the superdelegates, Fritz? It's a couple of ways. The superdelegates, you will hear a lot about them. Here's who they are. They are former U.S. presidents. There's only a couple of those. We know where Bill Clinton's going to go in that race. Former U.S. vice presidents, all Democratic governors, all Democrat U.S. senators, all Democrat members of Congress, distinguished party leaders. That's, how do you
now describe? We're getting mushy.
Now you're getting into people that may be able to buy their way onto this list. Yeah. And party activists, you really got people now that can buy your way on the list. But here, at a time when the American people have spent so much time with caucuses and primaries, are the superdelegates, Michael Golden?
You're coming right at me.
Do they represent a ticking time bomb for this party insofar as public relations and image?
I don't think it's a secret that it could definitely be a problem. It's a neck and neck race, and if Hillary Clinton does what's expected in Ohio and Texas, once we get past this next handful of primaries, this could still be very competitive, and the superdelegates could swing the thing. And I mean, I don't think the American people want that, and I don't think the Democratic Party wants that. And Donna Brazile, I don't know if you've heard her in the last day or two, who was campaign manager for Al Gore and is a member of the DNC, and she's an analyst on television. She's a superdelegate, and she says that she doesn't want to be involved in any exercise where the superdelegates would swing the election. In fact, she said that she would renounce her membership in the DNC. So.
This really is the 21st century incarnation of the smoke-filled room, isn't it?
Well, I, I, It is and it isn't. Here is how it is not. It isn't because each one of these groups, except these distinguished party leaders and party activists, everybody else is run in Democratic primaries. They have real constituencies. Yeah. They answer to voters.
That's true.
I mean, they are real people who have got to go back to a constituency and say, here is what I did. So there's accountability. That's part of it. Number two is if the campaign ends up being decided by these guys and they go against public opinion, there will be heck to pay for that.
That's true.
But the problem is before we ever get there, there's going to be this vicious credential fight over Michigan, where Hillary lied about her activities, over Florida, where she lied about her activities. There is going to be a fight on the credential committee to beat the band, and that's going to engender bad feelings. And I think the Democrats are going to come out of their convention, if things continue as they have, very disunified.
Paul Lisnick, I want to get your response because you are a lawyer. You're
I'm not a superdelegate.
You're a whole bunch of things.
Delegate.
But again, is this a PR nightmare waiting to explode on the Democrats?
It's not supposed to be. A few points.
It's
not supposed to be. First of all, this whole superdelegate thing started back in 1980 when Ted Kennedy challenged Jimmy Carter. It was designed, it came into play for the purpose of making sure that things didn't mess up at a convention, that essentially these superdelegates could go where the public opinion was and solidify the party. That's the goal. The reason we're talking about this now is because what we all believe can happen here is that the Obama movement nationwide will get him the popular vote, will bring him up there, but at convention time, he may be just short of the number of delegates it takes to win. So if you go into the convention with Hillary having just a few extra, that's the issue Chris is talking about. The superdelegates, who some could claim are very party-oriented, could give it to Hillary, and that's the time bomb,
Bruce. But again,
Bruce.
When you talk about it, I mean, again, the initial thought on this, also it also goes a little bit back, at least philosophically, to the McGovern period. These were the party elders who always want to be in a position to say, you know, don't let the troops get too far ahead of the generals.
It's the antidote to 1972,
right,
and the unseating of the Illinois delegation. I mean, this is all a big Chicago story, and it's coming back, not to say necessarily haunt them, but I mean.
And by the way, let me. I looked at the calendar the other day. The fourth night, Thursday night, for the Democratic convention in Denver, which is the night that the Democratic nominee usually stands up and accepts the nomination.
Oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen,
oh, no.
It's August 28th. It is the 40th anniversary to the day of the Democratic disturbances at Michigan and Balboa in Chicago.
I have to bring
40
that up,
years to the day. So things could be hopping. They could be more than a mile high in Denver.
I think one of the key words they'll use is potential PR nightmare. It's possible that this could happen, especially
right,
if it's that close. But I really think that, especially since McCain will have been the presumptive nominee for several months by then and taken shots at the Democrats, I think by that time the Democratic Party will figure this out before it turns into a fiasco.
A short circuit,
really,
not to get in the second program, is to put Obama on the ticket. I mean, if Hillary announces August 1st, I'm going to put Obama on the ticket, then this will all kind of dissipate. Although, if they're fighting, that assumes
Howard
this,
Dean says he wants a deal. He wants to quiet
the... He says he's going to broker the deal, but I don't
broker the deal. If this is decided within the margin of Michigan and Florida, that's the nightmare.
That's the nightmare.
Because Hillary will visit on the party itself the very same kind of trial lawyer tactics that Al Gore visited on every Florida election administrator.
It'll be the Supreme Court battle all over
again.
They're already trying to run those races again.
Michigan's got the funding to do it again.
They do.
Florida, there may be something crazy in Florida happening, which is where they will be forced to go into the convention with essentially a recognition of the national vote, which is probably going to be 48-48
right,
and serve no
it
purpose.
It would be symbolic.
Folks, isn't this for the voters who've watched all this, you know, battle for the Democratic nomination, and now you've got the battle, the credential battle, as to whether or not
we don't have one yet.
We're going to have a
potential battle to what's going to happen, because clearly what you have here is you have Hillary Clinton appears to want to change the rules that she and Obama and Edwards all agreed to.
What a surprise!
So Michigan and Florida, suddenly they want to count. And doesn't this reinforce in the mind of the voters, you know what, here are the Democrats.
Yep.
They make a law, and then they got to find the edges because they don't want to live by their own rules. Isn't that a...
It's Democratic disarray.
I want to get our Democrat responding to that.
What's your question?
My question is, doesn't that reinforce an image of the Democratic Party? They make a statement, and then they get wishy-washy. They back away from it. It's like, it depends on what the definition of...
All right.
Yes.
Well, you're speaking in big hypotheticals here.
What are you talking about? She wants to have Florida count.
There hasn't been any fight yet.
But she lied. Hold on. Time out. She lied. Let me just say.
Yeah,
she lied about Michigan. She said, Michigan is not going to be worth anything. We're not going to do anything. She then bent over backwards to make sure she won Michigan.
Afterwards.
She lied about Florida. Right, afterwards. And now she's trying to get the Michigan thing seated because she did win there. And she lied about Florida. I will not campaign in Florida. The night and a half before the election, what has happened? She's in Florida. You're doing press availabilities. I mean,
Florida and Michigan have already been disenfranchised.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Let me respond.
Okay.
I'm not going to defend Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
but that's not the same as the Democratic Party. I don't support Hillary Clinton. I don't agree with that strategy. If that's what the Clintons employ, I wouldn't be surprised if they do it. And yes, it would probably reflect poorly on the overall party. However, let's just take one step at a time here. You don't know what the delegate count is going to be. You don't know, you know, if the superdelegates are going to put their finger to the wind at the end of the day. You don't know what Michigan and Florida are going to do. And they may run these races again on their own without any of this wrangling. But yes, that would not be good for the Democrats to watch the Clintons do something like that in tandem. It would remind us of some things we don't want to be reminded of.
We got a break. 1-800-723-8029.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
We'll be right back. All right, we're back in Chicago, and a reminder that next week we're going to be with you from Wisconsin. 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to be with you from WKBN in Youngstown, Ohio. 3 weeks from tonight in Austin, Texas, we're going to be on the road following the action. Speaking of the action, let us go to Kansas City, and Scott is listening to us on XM Radio. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. I have a little tidbit for you. It might be that important, but I think it's pretty interesting nonetheless, to me anyway. I know a lot of Democrats, and I think most of them would have no problems voting for a candidate based on their race. But I do know a lot of Democrats who will have a problem voting for a candidate based on their gender. And the way I know this is I work with a lot of inner city guys all throughout the Midwest. Well, back in October, I picked up a truckload of guys. We went out to the work site. I was the only white guy in the car, six black guys. Everybody said they'd have no problem voting for Barack. They couldn't wait to vote for Barack. None of them would vote for Hillary because she was a woman. So,
well, and Barack has his own problems.
I've had that experience a number of times since then.
Barack has.
I want to let Michael Golden tackle that one.
That's something that I haven't heard. And we've been talking sort of about the superdelegate convention stuff, but I think it's worth pointing out here that you have, on the Democratic side of the aisle, two amazing candidates for president. That's why some of these polls, you're seeing 83% of the Democratic electorate would be pleased with either one of them as the nominee. And I don't think that's going to impact. If Hillary Clinton ends up the nominee, I don't think that's going to happen. I think a great thing that's happened in this primary race is that it's shown that Americans, we don't give our own people enough credit for judging people on their merits when it comes to politics. Now, I'm not saying that race and gender can't swing some votes here and there, but I do believe that the strongest candidate is going to come out of the Democratic primary because the voters have chosen it that way and weighed both of these candidates' backgrounds and what they bring to the table.
Following up on that, I want to ask Paul Lustig a question. Barack Obama has said publicly on a number of occasions now that those who support Hillary Clinton, if he won the nomination, would support him. He's not quite sure that everyone that would support him would support Hillary Clinton. Do you agree with that?
Well, there was a poll just the other day which illustrated they talked to Obama supporters who said, let me do it the other way, Clinton supporters who said if Hillary didn't win and Obama did, they would be happy with him as the candidate. But it was not true on the other side. Obama supporters said if Hillary was the candidate, they would not be satisfied. I'm not sure, and as this caller is recognizing, I mean, I'm not saying gender is not a part here, but I think there's something more personal going on as it goes to Hillary Clinton. But I do want to say one last historical thing.
I also think it has a lot to do with, I don't know, how young, what was the age of these gentlemen?
Middle age.
Okay, 30, because the other thing I would say is, 40. I would say that would tend to be, tend to be true if they were younger voters. Because younger voters, you know, may get all excited about something and, you know, then their heart's broken and then, you know, it's a, you know, they're teenagers and their hearts are broken and they, you know, they fail to get up and vote on election day.
And we know Hillary's appealing to older people, yes. Anyway, over 50. I just, you know, historically, 50. I just found this interesting. Maybe this is worth nothing, but, you know, African-Americans got the vote in this country about 1870 constitutionally. Women did not get the vote until 50 years later.
Right.
So, you know, it just raises an issue. Is this country, if this is an issue, is this a country that was more comfortable with the African-American candidate than the woman?
I want to say there is another element that is lurking in here. And unfortunately, I don't have as sanguine a view as Michael. I think that there has been bigotry evidenced on both sides of the aisle this year. On the Republican side, I've already referred to the issue about Mormonism,
yep.
Which is very disappointing. On the Democratic side, I think there has been different strains of it, one of which is becoming more and more prominent, and that is after Bill Clinton was trying to remind people that Barack was an African-American candidate, then the Clinton campaign went into this issue of the brown-black divide, and that is replete on the record, and there is a terrific Frank Rich article about it today in the New York Times, and they have been attempting to exploit the tensions that exist below sort of the network television view of America.
Yes. Do you think that's working very well? Do you think that tactic worked very well?
It did work well, but Barack Obama has been increasing over time, both in his share on the Hispanic vote and on his share with the white vote. He has really not cracked into the older woman's vote or the white sort of middle income or lower middle income vote.
I think there's no question, though, that a lot of people were offended by those tactics and turned off, and I think that augured to Senator Obama's favor. You know,
Buster Sue.
Hillary, what that caller said is about her being a woman as much as what I think it's personal. I think that there's no question that the Clintons, especially Senator Clinton, is a polarizing figure. And a lot of the people who were vote for Obama in the primary, if he were not to get that nomination, I think might not come out for Senator Clinton, not because she's a woman, but because they don't want to go back to some of those ugly memories, no matter how good times were in the 90s, but what Bruce was talking about
earlier. Hillary Clinton announced today that she's getting rid of her campaign manager, a Hispanic woman.
With a Chicago connection.
With a Chicago connection, Ms. Solis. How might that play?
Well, I think that Hillary's a tough manager, and I think that the change had to be made, and I think people are. I don't think that the voters. After 30 years in this business, the voters could not care less who the campaign manager is. It's an inside the Beltway story.
I agree. I think they did this from a campaign tactic standpoint, and I would say that I don't think that Senator Clinton, earned that many Latino votes because of.
It came out on a Sunday, so this is not exactly going to be nightly news.
They want to get rid of it. Michael Golden has been our Democrat. Paul Lisick has been our commentator. Chris Roebling has been our Republican. They have all been here for hour number one. We're going to continue our conversation. We got a full board of lights. Keep the calls coming. In hour number two, as I promised, we're going to continue our conversation. We're going to be talking about possible running mates, looking ahead, and looking at sort of the pitfalls for each party in picking someone who will run with the standard bearer. I'm Bruce Dumont. If you're watching us on television, we'll see you next week. If you're listening to us on radio, keep your dial right where it is. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go Red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go Red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
My name is Teresa. I was a good mother. Then I tried meth and quickly became addicted. I abandoned my little girl to chase my next high. 8 months later, my daughter begged me to come home. Her plea made me enter drug treatment. My recovery wasn't easy, but I've been clean for 4 years now.
Meth is a powerful drug that affects everyone. If you know someone who's using, get involved. Treatment is available and it works. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
From Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Republican Chris Roebling, Democrat Michael Golding, political commentator Paul Lisnick, and Joel Goldstein. Our program tonight coming to our home base on State Street, that great street in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, our email address is btbtalk@aol.com. And if you'd like to join us on the World Wide Web, it's www.beyondthebeltway.com. Well, recently, when Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama met face-to-face for the first time in a debate at the Kodak Theater in Hollywood on the eve of the California and Super Tuesday primaries, Wolf Blitzer suggested that perhaps the two that were on the stage that night represented the Democratic dream team of 2008. And the Hollywood glitterati that were there in the Kodak Theater erupted, and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton went back and forth with a little jovial Alf Allenson Gostone, if you will, about, no, we're not really interested, and they were jockeying about who would obviously be the standard bearer of the party. But it has started a discussion about what would happen with the Democrats and what would happen also with the Republicans, now that it appears that John McCain is sailing towards the Republican nomination. How important is the selection of a vice president? And in a heated primary, is it likely that someone could actually pick a candidate who had challenged them all the way for the nomination? So I want to begin with Michael Golden. Michael is our Democrat tonight. Michael, a Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama ticket, or vice versa, is it a good idea for the Democrats? Do you see that as a dream ticket?
I'd say those are two different questions. I think it would be a good thing for the party. Do I see it? I'm not so sure. We all know about LBJ and John F. Kennedy and Reagan and Bush, and so it's definitely a possibility. But first of all, I actually believe that Senator Obama is going to be the nominee. But either way, I'm not sure he would want to be on a ticket on a way to a White House where President Clinton's going to be back in the White House, either as president choosing her to be a running mate or as the vice president with him in there as with Senator Clinton as president. I don't know if he would want to deal with that dynamic for 4 years.
Chris Roebling is our Republican. We're going to talk about the Democrats first. What's your take on the likelihood of either of those tickets?
I think that there will be enormous pressure to heal the rifts in the Democratic Party that will result from this hotly contested primary season and the possibility of fighting at the convention that we all are aware of. I think there will be a lot of pressure, sort of a presumption that they consider each other for the position. I have a hard time seeing Hillary get on a ticket led by Obama. I have a less hard time seeing Obama getting on a ticket led by Hillary. But I think both of them, if you come that close and you miss it, I think there's also an ego level that gets into play, and that might itself prevent.
What about Michael's point? I mean, basically, I mean, the point is, who would really want to be a running mate to Hillary Clinton if Bill Clinton is going to be around all the time?
I think there are a lot of people out there who would jump at the chance. I think there are a lot of governors and maybe a couple of senators, or maybe even some national political figures that she might want to consider. And I think most of them, if you're a Clinton supporter, you're in for a dollar, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Paul Lesnik, a political commentator for Comcast. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bruce. First of all, in chiming in here, we have to remember that in 2004, the Democrats pretty much shoved Edwards down Kerry's throat because of Edwards' popularity. If you're going to see anybody getting forced here, it'll be Obama being forced on Clinton because there's way too much Obama energy to ignore that. So with Clinton at the top of the ticket, you could see Obama there. He would say he wouldn't do it. Nobody ever says no to the vice president. But I do want to add on that there's a political scheme going on here, which is, I don't mean scheme in the bad sense, but I mean if Clinton gets the nomination, she needs somebody from the Midwest for her ticket, which is why Obama fits that need. She can go to some other places. If Obama's on the ticket, I think he's got to go west. And so when I say west, I mean West Coast, but I mean in the Southwest area, maybe a Bill Richardson, something like that. We'll talk. But so I think the needs are different for the ticket.
But it seems to me also is she somewhat being, trapped into a corner, just as I think she may be being forced into the corner because of the issues about the superdelegates and whether or not that she wants to have Michigan and Florida. She may be backed into a corner fighting for her political life, as she certainly has to do. But again, is there some real baggage there? And I guess my question would be is, if Hillary Clinton ends up with the Democratic nomination, in all likelihood, she's going to be able to say that she really got there because of the Hispanic vote, and at least with what's left out there. And my question would be, how will the Hispanics respond to that? Because they might be saying, wait a minute, we're the ones that gave you this nomination. Why don't you pick Bill Richardson? And does it exacerbate this black-brown split that is somewhat in the body politic? It's not deep and mean, but the reality is it does exist.
I think it's a good point. I think there's going to be two competing pressures there. One of them is that to have someone on the ticket that's Latino, and obviously Bill Richardson is an obvious choice and has a long history with the Clintons. But the other thing is, and we had talked about this off the air, that if Hillary Clinton is the nominee, a lot of those supporters of Barack Obama aren't necessarily just going to connect and get out there and support and vote for Senator Clinton if she's the nominee. There's going to be some pressure, I think, also to have Barack Obama as the vice presidential nominee to coalesce that support and make sure that the turnout in the general election is as strong as it's been in the primaries.
I think that the issue about the winning coalition for Hillary Clinton in terms of getting the nomination, then seeking some kind of payback at the convention, if she falls for that, if she is not able to overcome that kind of political calculus in the nominating convention sort of context, then she's doomed in November. Then she isn't the politician that I think she is, because it's got to be about winning in November, and it cannot be about payback for the campaign. They don't have anything if they don't cross that line, that finish line first in November. That's where the focus of the nominating convention has got to be.
But doesn't she need an intense turnout in the Hispanic community, just as she needs an intense turnout in the black community?
Yes, she does.
There's a split She may not be able to have it in both. And if she picks a white male running mate, she could tick off a lot of women.
Given McCain's softer approach to immigration, you could have Hispanics say, you know what, I'm going to make my point, and I'm voting for McCain.
That's right. That's right. And there are a lot of Republicans now who are looking into a very close analysis of Latino precincts. I want to say very quickly, part of this brown-black issue that we talk about is a very serious canard. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the results in any number of big city elections around the country, you find that Hispanic voters have very frequently supported African-American candidates and helped make them into African American office holders. So that's why this thing is so irksome to so many National Democratic leaders that the Clintons
that
are using.
That happened in the Senate race when Senator Obama was elected in Illinois.
We've got to pause. 1-800-723-8229. We're going to take some calls when we come back. And a little bit later on in the program, we're going to be joined by Joel Goldstein. He's with the St. Louis University, and he is an expert on vice presidents. Back shortly.
You've heard the horror stories about meth. It's a powerful, dangerous, and highly addictive drug that's having a serious impact on our communities and horrible effects on families across the country. But there is reason for hope. Treatment for meth addiction is available, and it works. All it takes is someone to care. If you know someone using meth, get involved and help them get on the path to recovery. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
From Knoxville, Tennessee to Fresno, California, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We're going to go to calls in just a moment after I elaborate on something that I said in hour number one, and that is, at this moment in time, when you're looking at the problems that John McCain has in trying to solidify his conservative base, he'd like to find some way maybe to sort of close off this nomination process, but also maybe demonstrate something in putting a ticket together that maybe could add to the experience that the Republicans obviously want to, you know, talk about in the general election, if the Democrats are going to be talking about maybe a combination of change and experience as well. And so I've suggested in that first hour that really perhaps the best candidate for John McCain to select is Mitt Romney. Now, everybody knows that these guys don't really like each other. John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson really didn't like each other. There wasn't a close relationship between Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush, because Bush in that 1980 primary, had, I think, said far worse things about Ronald Reagan than anything that's been said in this campaign, even though, again, we've seen on television that the animosity between Romney and McCain is pretty strong. And since John McCain keeps talking about how much he was a foot soldier in the Reagan revolution and constantly talking about Ronald Reagan, he should do what Ronald Reagan did. Ronald Reagan basically turned the other cheek, and he selected as his running mate George Herbert Walker Bush in Detroit, Michigan. And Bush had called his economic plan voodoo economics, far worse than anything that's been said. So first of all, I want to get reaction from our Republican. What do you think about Romney as a running mate?
I think Romney is a terrific potential running mate, and I think he's going to get full consideration for the running mate job with John McCain. I think McCain is going to look. I think the reality for McCain is he's 71 years old. He's going to be very serious about this running mate. This running mate is going to be somebody who is instantly credible as a potential president of the United States, so that there are no...
Does Romney pass muster with you on that point?
Oh, absolutely.
Paul Lisnick.
Not going to happen. And I'll tell you why. I think it's very common for all of us and people who do what we do to take a look at the current player of fields and assume that the VP is coming out of this pool. John McCain has to go south. He lost the entire South to Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee will not be his selection. Keep your eye on Haley Barbour, former head of the Republican Party, former governor of Mississippi. This is the guy that I think you'll see. So it's not always a name that we've seen standing before us for the last few months.
Michael Golden?
I actually agree with that, and I think there's a lot of pressure already on John McCain to choose Haley Barbour. A governor is a good thing. Someone from the South is a good thing, and someone with bedrock conservative credentials, which Mitt Romney, you may pass your test, but a lot of conservatives didn't buy that whole quick change
routine. But here's the point. I don't know whether it seems to me that McCain would probably do well in the South anyway. Of course, we have to talk about if Obama was on the ticket, what does he do with black turnout? I mean, that's another part of this dynamic. I think it's also important to remember that really that is going to be that's going to be the decision that's made. The Republican convention starts on Labor Day, so he conceivably could make this the last decision. Also, something I said in hour number one, I think would be wise if he were to make that decision early,
right?
Begin running as a team, close off all this discussion about, spend all of the time bringing and coalescing the Republicans together. And my only point is, I'm not so sure that Haley Barbour gives you any blue state. There's a possibility, albeit a slight possibility, given the fact that the Democrats have been disenfranchised in Michigan. Maybe Romney gives you Michigan.
But
in
John,
a general election.
John McCain has won blue states for Republicans. I know it's a different situation for the general, but I think we need to I'll leave it there.
Okay,
let's go to Carlos listening to us in Houston, Texas, on POTUS on XM Radio. Go ahead, you're on the air, Carlos.
I have a question for your panel.
Yeah,
because a conservative like me is so upset that John McCain is the front runner. I'm a Mitt Romney guy, but I'm going to vote for Mike Huckabee, and here's why. If Mike Huckabee is able to get enough, like let's say 60% of what's out there, and Mitt Romney gives him the 20% that he needs to win, wouldn't Mitt Romney be his vice president? And I, as a conservative, could vote in the general election and be fired up that it's not McCain, I can go for Huckabee. Couldn't we do that? Couldn't we stop McCain by bringing in Mike Huckabee and have him win the remaining states? And then Mitt Romney could come in and say, here are my delegates, let me be vice.
I don't know if the math works out, but talk about the politics of it, Chris.
The politics are these: it will not happen. I want to disabuse you of this idea. It is not going to happen on POTUS 08 or XM or anywhere, not even in Houston. What we've got here, there are some people who are kind of dead ending on the John McCain thing. God bless them. I hope they come back. I think they will come back when they look at whatever comes up on the Democratic side of the aisle for November.
Let's go to Lafayette, Indiana. Kyle is listening to us on WLS. He wants to talk about the Democratic ticket. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I've in the last two elections, I'm 26, and in the last two elections, I've voted for non-party candidates. And I've been encouraged by Barack Obama, and but I have decided that I will not vote for Hillary Clinton because the campaign that she's run, and I guess my comment is really, what can I do in Indiana, in a state that doesn't really count for my vote, to encourage people to vote for Barack Obama? I haven't been politically active in that way.
Well, I think, obviously you're talking on a national radio show. That might help. And by the way, let me just ask one point. I mean, you know, one of the names that people have suggested as a possible running mate for Hillary Clinton would be Evan Bayh. What would you think of that? I mean, this is an immensely popular man in the state of Indiana, and probably somebody that I don't know whether he would put Indiana in play. Do you think he would put Indiana in play? I mean,
I think you wouldn't
vote for the ticket if Evan Bayh were on it, right?
I would not. I would consider myself an independent, and as an independent, I can't in my good conscience vote for Hillary Clinton.
Okay, a lot of people can't. Michael Golden, your comment.
Would you vote for Senator Obama?
I would. Yeah. I would. Yeah. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the way that he's run his campaign. I really have been discouraged by the way that Hillary is, in Michigan and in Florida, and also the way that she approaches campaign finances, ideas of using lobbyists, things like that. And I do feel okay about voting for Barack Obama, but I will not vote for Hillary.
I agree. I can't vote for her either.
Michael.
I think it's an interesting point you made, actually, about Evan Bayh. I think that could put that state in play, and that is something that has been talked about, and it would seem to be logical. I think also, though, if you have Senator Obama as the nominee and Senator McCain as the nominee, you're going to see a really interesting general election, because you're going to have two strong candidates who both pull from that middle pool, and these elections are decided, national elections are decided between the 40-yard line.
No question.
Let's go to Mike listening to us on KXLY in Spokane, Washington. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Bruce, and thanks for taking my call. Senator Clinton was here last Friday afternoon, and so was Senator Obama's wife. And as you know, the caucuses were Saturday here in Washington State.
Yeah.
Obama took the majority, and Clinton came in second. But Ron Paul was strong here in Washington State, and he took Spokane County.
Yeah, he finished with 21%, a strong third there. But he's not going to be the Republican nominee.
No, I know he's not. But he came in third there. But I have a question for your Democratic guests, if I could as well.
Yeah.
And for the Republican nominee, I picked Fred Thompson. I would go with him. And
Fred
Bloomberg,
Thompson is a running mate?
Fred Thompson. He's a friend of McCain's. You bet, senator from the South, strong on defense.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think he was a ringer in the race, frankly.
Well, you may think that, but he has some common sense, Bruce. He really does.
Well, I don't know about that.
But I wouldn't go
that far.
I'd like to. Okay,
You have two old guys waiting to.
I'd like to ask your Democratic guest a question or comment here too, and that is that some Democrats can't support either Obama or Clinton because of their strong stand, their support of abortion and same-sex marriages. The leftists have just taken control.
Well, they're both strong pro-choice candidates. That's
yes,
true.
They are, right at the time of birth.
Those aren't Democrats. Those are Reagan Democrats.
Yeah, right.
But they have a new name. They're now called Republicans.
Right. I don't have anything to add to that, Bruce. I think it was very deftly handled.
Well, and by the way, neither Obama or Clinton support this caller mentioned same-sex marriage. Neither of them go that far on same-sex marriage. They want gays to have rights and civil rights,
but civil unions.
But they don't talk about same-sex marriage.
Eureka, California. Let's go to KGOE. Jake, you're on the air. Go ahead. Are you there? Jake, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I do believe Obama, if he is the nominee, he will not pick Hillary Clinton as his running mate. Hillary Clinton has too much baggage politically and personally.
Right.
But if Hillary is the nominee, she's going to have no choice. She'll have to pick Obama. Obama has proven he can win the independent vote, and Hillary needs those votes.
What if he says no, though? What if he? By the way, my advice to Barack Obama would be, don't do it.
Right.
This will sink your career.
Right.
If you run for vice president, because you are going to be literally, you're going to be odd man out. because Bill Clinton is going to be the key advisor in that White House.
And that's that's what my point was. It would be very messy, and there's, like you said, it's not a matter of if, but when President Clinton would get involved if he's back
Barack,
in the White House.
Barack Obama could get away with that. He could get away with that. He could become Illinois chairman for Clinton 2008 and get away with it all day long, whereas Ronald Reagan campaigned his butt off for Jerry Ford in 1976, and there are still a lot of moderate and country club Republicans who tried to hang the loss of Ford under Reagan.
And nobody ever wants to put out there that somebody was offered the VP spot and turned it down. We always want the person who takes it to pretend they were the first one. That may be the first time in history that Obama might, they have to figure out a way for him to come out and say, I was offered it, I said no.
We gotta be back. Don't go away. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415 for a one-time professional fee. American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415. From Grand Rapids, Michigan to St. Louis, Missouri, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Michael Golden is here. Michael Golden is the co-founder of the Illinois Education Foundation, and he was a campaign manager for Melissa Bean, who ran for Congress, also was involved as a member of the media department of the Kerry Edwards campaign. Chris Roebling also joins us. Once upon a time, he was the executive director of the Cook County Republican Party and activist. in Republican politics for a long, long time around here, and he works in crisis management for Jane Thompson and Associates. And Paul Lisnick joins us. He is a lecturer, a lawyer, and he, most importantly, is a political commentator for WGN Television, and also is the host of Political Update on Comcast Channel 100, seen on many of the stations that also carry the television version of Beyond the Beltway each and every week. And joining us now from his home in St. Louis is Joel Goldstein. He is professor of law at St. Louis University of Law, and he is author of a book called The Modern American Vice Presidency. Professor Goldstein, thanks for joining us on Beyond the Beltway.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
We have been talking for the last half hour about the likelihood of whether or not this California dream ticket, Obama-Clinton or Clinton-Obama, is likely to happen, and also sort of commiserating as to what John McCain's likely choices might be. And I'm wondering, looking at how vice presidents have been chosen, at least in recent years, some of the old axioms were sort of thrown away. But what advice would you give to those who were looking at this vice presidential process this year? What should we be looking for?
Well, I think in some respects, this is going to be a different, or maybe a different vice presidential selection than we've been used to in recent times. On the Republican side, Senator McCain seems to have wrapped up the nomination so early that he's going to have the longest period in history, really, where the focus will be on the vice presidential selection. On the Democratic side, it's just the opposite. This is the first time in a long time where there's a real chance that it may go to the convention, and that would really cause the vice presidential selection to revert back in some respects to the way it used to be done, not to the way that it's been done in recent years.
And how did it used to be done?
Well, it used to be done at sort of the last minute at the convention, where once the presidential nomination was secured, he would then start focusing on who he wanted as his running mate. That really changed in 1976 when Jimmy Carter clinched the nomination around June the 8th, and then spent about 5 weeks interviewing people and having them vetted. And that was the first time that there was that sort of a intensive examination of vice presidential candidates. And that's something. Some variation of that has been the norm since 1976.
Now, I had suggested that in the last segment of this broadcast, I had suggested that maybe John McCain should pick Mitt Romney. Everyone knows of the animosity between the two, but the animosity between candidates is there's nothing really new or unique about that, is there?
No, I mean, there certainly are precedents for that sort of ticket. I don't think that John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson really had animosity between them, but they had a very heated campaign. Lyndon Johnson had said some things that the Kennedys thought were unfair, below the belt, and so forth. Robert Kennedy took offense at them, and so there was a lot of hard feelings there. As I think you mentioned in your column, George Bush referred to Ronald Reagan's economic policies as voodoo economics, and then ended up on the ticket with him. So there have been precedents where that's happened. It creates some problems in terms of running a general election campaign, but you certainly can't say never.
Now, it used to be that whoever won the nomination, there would be a lot of discussion about trying to balance the ticket. That conventional wisdom was sort of thrown out the window when Bill Clinton selected Al Gore from a neighboring state to be his running mate. But they had a political relationship going. And as you look at, let me give you a couple of hypotheticals. Obviously, one is not so hypothetical, that John McCain will be the Republican nominee. But let's say, what do you think Hillary Clinton is likely to do? Take us through what you think her thought process might be in picking the choices for what may lie ahead.
Well, it's all premature, and one doesn't know how things are going to unfold. But but there are a number of different possibilities for Senator Clinton. I mean, one would be a possibility that Clinton and Obama would share, and that would be the sort of the dream ticket, the Clinton-Obama, Obama-Clinton. A second possibility would be that they go right down to the convention. Neither of them has enough support, and you get sort of an old-fashioned deal. One of them cuts a deal with somebody else in exchange for his or her support. They put them on the ticket. That used to be done more commonly in the past, either by candidates or by people on their behalf, FDR and John Nance Garner, that sort of thing. But it was a little bit similar to when Ronald Reagan put Senator Schweiker on his ticket to try and swing some delegates. The third possibility...
By the way, we should mention, for those that may not be familiar with that, this was in 1976.
Right.
Ronald Reagan was challenging the incumbent president of the United States. It was a very hotly contested primary, and Ronald Reagan, who represented the very conservative wing of the Republican Party, reached out to a moderate senator from Pennsylvania, Richard Schweiker. It was in Kansas City. He stunned the political world. It was quite a gamble, and his principal goal in doing that was that he wanted to influence the Pennsylvania delegation, and it almost worked.
That's exactly right. It ended up backfiring, and it caused some Southerners who had been on the fence to shift to Ford, and or to use that as their excuse to go to Ford, and it was sort of a desperate last-minute move. It didn't pay off. That would be a possibility. It would be a deal that either Clinton might make or Obama.
Given the fact that it looks as though, certainly with the mood and the word that appears to be sort of dominating the Democratic primaries is the word change, would you say that because change may be an issue, let me ask the other question, is if Obama ends up as the running mate, do you think his ticket needs more change? Does it need an element of experience? And how might McCain respond to that?
Well, I think what you suggested are exactly the two possibilities or two alternative strategies. One would be the sort of the Clinton strategy of choosing Gore, sort of reinforcing himself. Obama looking for somebody else who represents change and really trying to create a picture, a visual image of change. The other would be to sort of bolster his experience, to do sort of what George Bush did with Dick Cheney, and to pick a senior statesman or woman to be his running mate. With Senator Clinton, I think her most likely possibility would be to try and balance the ticket, sort of the old-fashioned ticket balance, to pick somebody to indicate, to show that she wasn't as liberal or as she's sometimes portrayed to be, sort of like what Michael Dukakis did in choosing Lloyd Bentsen. Now, whether McCain will counter that strategy or not, I think what McCain's situation, he has to really look at how things develop. I would think that a conventional strategy for somebody like Senator McCain, who's going to have to appeal to independents and Democrats to win, is to try and secure the base in the Republican Party by choosing a running mate who's popular with the base, and then give him the freedom to reach out to independents and to Democrats.
In your view, given the fact that obviously there's going to be there seems to be perhaps a money issue for Republicans, the Democrats may find it easier to raise money than certainly John McCain has done. John McCain has not demonstrated a great ability to raise money. Romney has the money. And again, we're in a time now where McCain seems to be sort of, obviously bogged down, albeit early, trying to solidify his conservative base. And a question I would ask you, which is something we posed not long ago on the program, is would there be any wisdom in your mind, whether he picks Romney or some other conservative, would there be any wisdom in picking a candidate early so the Republican team is in place long before the Democrats, head to Denver in late August.
Well, I think he certainly will pick it before the convention. Whether he, what you're suggesting is maybe he pick it in March or April or something like that.
To shut down all of this conservative discussion. It seems to me there's a lot of hemorrhaging conservative. Chris Roebling's got a comment.
Yeah, Professor, this is Chris Roebling. I'm the Republican on the panel this evening, and I think that there is a high likelihood that McCain, one very eloquent answer to concerns expressed even on this program this evening by some conservatives, it might not be dispositive for all conservatives, but for McCain to come up with a recognized conservative leader, especially from a red state, if there are any, who might be able to add a state to the total. And that would, as you were just suggesting, give John McCain an ability to go out and compete for the independents and the Democrats who might be available.
Professor, we have to pause here for a moment. We have a lot of callers on the line on this topic. We will bring them into our conversation when we continue from Chicago on this week's edition of Beyond the Beltway.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
From Naperville, Illinois, to Nacogdoches, Texas, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. And let's go to Nacogdoches, Texas, where Lyle is listening to us on XM Radio tonight. Lyle, go ahead. You're on the air with Joel Goldstein and our guests in the studio in Chicago.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. Basically, I think McCain has a couple of challenges. One is, that's already been discussed, is how he's going to patch things up with the conservatives. And I think that's a tall order. And then secondly, not only his age, but his health. and nobody's been talking about his health issues.
Yep.
But essentially, I think the ones that could help him with all of those issues better would be somebody like Condoleezza Rice and or the governor of Louisiana. I think McCain's challenge is going to be holding on to the red states, much less trying to grab a couple of blue states.
All right, let's let Professor Goldstein respond to that. What do you think of Condoleezza Rice?
Well, I mean, that would be a dramatic choice. The challenge with that would be that Senator McCain's been saying that the war in Iraq was the right decision, but that it's been mismanaged. Given that Secretary Rice is one of the principal people who's been managing the war for 7 years, it would be a little bit awkward. It's one thing to take on somebody who's accused you of voodoo economics, but to put somebody a heartbeat from the presidency when you're basically saying they've mismanaged the major issue for the last 7 years.
And I think most people would acknowledge that Bobby Jindal is certainly a comer in the Republican Party, the new governor of Louisiana, but he might be a little young. He's also Indian, again, I wouldn't bet against that he's going to be the keynote speaker at that convention. But Paul, you have a comment?
I agree with Professor Goldstein, and in fact, you don't go to the current administration when you're trying to even talk about the possibility of a little bit of break in managing the war.
Right.
But I think what McCain has to be very careful about it, and I don't mean to leave the vice presidential discussion, but if he doesn't go for somebody fairly conservative, very right, he may face a third-party challenger. Who is that person? And he doesn't want to trigger that.
Let's go to Joel. Listening to us in Schaumburg, Illinois on WLS. You're on Beyond the Beltway.
Yeah, hi, Bruce. I'm an Obama supporter, and I think my choice for him, if he is a nominee, is a guy from a southern state, former Virginia Governor Mark Warner. A lot of people, I did some research on him. This guy had like an 87% approval rating in Virginia. The people absolutely loved him in that state.
But he's running, Michael, he's running for the Senate, though, right?
Running for the Senate. He was in the presidential race, and then
he dropped out
because withdrew a year ago. But he's a real impressive figure in the Democratic Party, no question.
Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Ben, listening to us in Chicago. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking the call. My two comments. First of all, I think Hillary would be foolish to take Obama. So far, Obama has not been evaluated to any degree, and she has been torn apart by liberals, conservatives, and everything like that. But the other thing, my assumption is that McCain will have a little trouble with his base. As of Thursday and Friday, LS here, the three top conservative talk shows, including Rush, have pretty much accepted McCain. And I think that if this is characteristic...
Rush has accepted McCain?
As of Friday, if you listen to his stuff. I mean, he has comments about his inadequacies, but he's talking now about the importance and effect of getting Congress and doing something to...
So who should be his running mate?
His running mate? Mm-hmm. I think it should be somebody who will help in terms of... This is a president and vice president who are competent. One of the weakest things about Obama is his lack, really, of qualifications.
I'll give you an example in principle.
Get somebody who has military experience and went into industry and reached the top level position in a multinational corporation who's done all kinds of things across the world. I think that kind of a combination would be one that would make it possible for him really to set up the competition between Democrats and Republicans and win it.
Okay, thank you for your call. What do you think of Huckabee as a possible running mate? There's been a lot of discussion of that, but I'm not so sure Huckabee brings you a constituency that you wouldn't ultimately get.
He's unacceptable. I mean, he's not really ready for the presidency, and I don't think he's got the
gravitas. He's unacceptable to whom?
Well, I just don't think he's presidential timber yet. I mean, this is his first time out, and we've got, as we were saying, a 71-year-old candidate here, presumptive nominee, who has had a couple of skin cancer bouts and things like this. And so you're not going to take somebody with no experience in foreign policy. I mean, Mike Huckabee was making very serious factual errors in the Republican debates, like down in Florida about Guantanamo, about due process. Mike Huckabee is nowhere near qualified.
Is Mel Martinez on a short list?
Mel Martinez, I believe, was born in Cuba.
Okay.
So I think he's like the Jennifer Granholm.
Right.
Let us go to Mindy, listening to us in Chicago. I understand you're a big Obama supporter.
Yes, I sure am, and I am a feminist and a Republican. And I am supporting Obama 100%. But thinking of some of these, I think, I hate to use the word fantasy, but I think some people saying that he and Hillary, the ideal ticket, I would be shocked, number one, if Obama would take it. And number two, I can't imagine anyone would want to be in that position. I won't support, if Obama is the vice president, I won't support the ticket. I'll end up voting Republican. But I just think it would be, you know, I think it would
so
be
you're
such a waste of talent.
So you're a Republican feminist who will not vote for Hillary?
Not at all, no.
Okay, but, on that note, we are out of time. Joel Goldstein, we thank you very much for joining us from St. Louis.
Thanks
professor of law at St. Louis University and author of the book, The Modern American Vice Presidency, The Transformation of a Political Institution. Our thanks to Michael Golden for joining us tonight, carrying the water for the Democrats. Paul Lisnick from Comcast joining us tonight, political talk show host, political update, and Chris Roebling carrying the water for the Republicans, but not necessarily for John McCain, but maybe a little bit.
Yeah, you were sort of.
I am on board.
My friend, this is the first of many Sundays you will carry that water.
Thank you.
This program is a Genevieve production produced in association with WLS Talk Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Stephanie Lecce and Tom Veracruz helped make this program possible. Next week we'll be in Wisconsin. I'm Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
My name is Teresa. I was a good mother. Then I tried meth and quickly became addicted. I abandoned my little girl to chase my next high. 8 months later, my daughter begged me to come home. Her plea made me enter drug treatment. My recovery wasn't easy, but I've been clean for 4 years now.
Meth is a powerful drug that affects everyone. If you know someone who's using, get involved. Treatment is available and it works. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.